Today's guest is Michael Castiglione, Los Angeles native and franchise owner at Sandler Training. In our first conversation I had a few weeks back, it was impressive how open he was about sales and what it truly means to sell with a heart for service. So I asked him if he wanted to be on a podcast, and here we are. 2020 has been the year of resilience, and sales is one of the best ways to build even more of it. And we have some awesome takeaways for you. Learning to love the word no and treat it as an option to learn more. Driving yourself to having more quality conversations. Not being afraid to take people out of a pipeline. And how to use the acronym BAGLES to set goals for yourself every day. I had a hard time keeping up with typing all the great advice I heard today and am eager to implement it. You will be too. After listening, reach out to Michael on LinkedIn. He's easy to find. Just look for a cheesy smile and a bald head. Those are his words, not mine. Now come on in and join the conversation. You know what? All I can do is be there, be a listener, and be there for people, you know, regardless of where they are. And so I'll do my part. I'll do my part. You seem like the type that's going to do your part too, man. So, yeah. Hey.
You got your podcast where you're here, you're listening to everybody's story, you're sharing the good word of what the positivity of things that people are doing. And, you know, so I'm happy to be a part of this morning and, you know, to have a good 30 minutes with you.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I forgot it was morning where you are. And I'm like, oh, man, it's after lunch for us, but you're on the West Coast. So it's like, well, yeah, you're 2 hours. Yeah, you're not missing anything 2 hours in the future. It's still just, it's chill. So we're good. It's still here. Yeah. So if anything happens, I'll let you know. You'll have some advance notice. So walk me through what your company does. I know we talked a little bit before, but what does your company do?
Yeah, you can think of us as the cure for sales cancer.
Okay.
You know, we really help business professionals sell without sounding like a salesperson.
Okay.
The key is there's no silver bullet. There's no magic cure. If there was, if it was easy, everyone would do it. Right, Michael?
Right.
So it's the idea of it's a reinforced training where we focus on three things. The behaviors of what to do every day, week, month. The attitude, the confidence, the positivity to believe in what you're doing. And then number three, you got to have competence. So the technique on how to really be a valued consultant versus a vendor.
Okay. Very cool. I appreciate that answer because I always have a challenge after doing an episode. I'm like, what am I going to title this thing? And already the cure for sales cancer done. That's like 50% of the work of publishing a podcast. It's not editing. It's not teasers. It's, oh my goodness, what am I going to call this? You know, that is awesome. Well, like kind of deviating a little bit from our standard questions here. So sales cancer, you know, what do people think of usually when they think sales?
Well, it's the four letter word. You're, you know, the preconceived notion of that used car salesperson,
right? Yeah.
The trickster, the shyster, most people, I'd say about 75% of people come to me and they're like, Mike, I don't want to be that person. Mm-hmm. And that's not what sales is. Maybe in 1980s, that's what it was.
Right.
But right now, everyone has so much information that you don't need to go out there and be a transactional vendor.
Right.
You really have to be a valued consultant. And the big difference is you need to shut your mouth and listen. And the only way to do that is ask better questions. And mm-hmm. we're so passionate about what we do. You know, whether it's a great product or a great service, people want to go in and tell their prospects all the good things. And that's right. The worst thing you can do. So sales has that negative. It's the only profession in the world where everyone tries to hide their title. Customer management, territory development. Everyone who's in sales, they try and hide that on their business cards because it's that someone's going to try and trick you.
Yeah.
And that's not what it's about at all. It's really two business professionals coming together and seeing how they have a solution to someone's problem.
Yep. That is true. That is true. I had to laugh because I find myself sometimes, I have to wear the sales hat all the time as an owner. And I find myself not wanting to tell people, oh, I'm in sales mode. Like, oh my goodness, I'm a customer liaison. No, I'm in sales. You know, we want to sell problems. Or no, that came out wrong. We want to sell solutions. We want to help and genuinely serve. So that's cool. Yeah, it's interesting that we have like that 1980s Mad Men mindset, like, you know, Don Draper or whatever, when it comes to sales. And it's like, I mean, that's fictional, right? It's not, we don't operate that way. That's like 40 years old. So That's cool.
You know, he's got a great book, To Sell as Human. And it talks about, you know, sales takes on this negative connotation in the world. The reality is, even if you're not in sales, everybody's selling every day. You know, I was a teacher back in my first career. And every day I'd go in and I would, in essence, try and teach middle school math. So I'm trying to sell a product to a population that does not want it. And every day, like, no matter who you are, the key is you're trying to convince an audience to accept your ideas and or your problem or your solution. And it doesn't have to be bad. It can be great. It can be fun. You can have some passion with it. But we take a different approach and we restructure it so that you give a system that allows you to be in control. And you don't fall into those pitfalls of being that sneaky, sleazy. Or what I see as even worse is getting the think it overs. Mm-hmm. So at the end of a conversation, hey, this was great. Let me think about it. You know, this was awesome. Let me get back to you. To me, that's worse because I don't really know where to go. And the goal of business development is to always have a clear next steps. Mm-hmm. As long as you have a next steps, then you can either move people down your pipeline or out of them. And that scares a lot of business professionals, is getting people out of their pipeline and hearing the word no. It's probably the most common word you're going to hear as a business owner. And it should be your second favorite word, where your first favorite should be yes. We want to have business. We want to be successful. But we should have the attitude of embracing no. And we get fearful of it. So we lose control and we get those think it overs and they're crippling.
Nice. You know, I had a conversation with somebody a little bit ago where he said no was his favorite word. And he's looking at it in terms of, you know, being a business owner and thinking about embracing, I get really embracing the suck, because I think it's like bad to hear a no from somebody, but it's a definable thing. No means, okay, well, there's an objection. There's a discussion point there, unless it's like a really hard no and we're not interested at all. But no leads to, well, there's some information here. Where did I miss? Where did I go wrong? Like what? How can I help you if this isn't accurate? Because it sounds like there's a need, but help me connect the dots here.
There's the no, take me off your list. No, I'm not interested. No, don't reach back to me. And, right. And listen to that. Don't ignore that. That's a real no. Right. And then there's the no, not yet, right, where I don't have a need for this right now. And it opens the discussion of, well, when would you? What would need to change? Because I truly believe there needs to be a compelling reason for us to do business. Mm-hmm. For you to invest time, money, resources, no matter what you're doing, someone's going to have to invest time, money, and resources to do something. Why? Well, where am I at and where do I want to be? And I have to, as the business professional, putting on my sales hat, I have to discover that. So I have to ask those questions. And if some people immediately, because there's no trust there yet, they say, no, 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 I don't want this. And the reality is they needed it yesterday.
Right.
And if you can put on that consulting hat and ask those questions and care and not be offended or, you know, avoid the no, you don't ever understand what their real challenges are. And if you don't know that, then you're at a disadvantage. And that's malpractice, because then they might need it and you're not able to supply the product or solution for them. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. There's the heart of servitude that comes with really, really good salespeople. And not everybody has it. I mean, obviously you do. Otherwise we wouldn't be talking to each other. But some salespeople just don't have it. They see it, like you said before, as just a transactional thing. Like, okay, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. And it becomes about money and about, you know, like that's the focus. But at the end of the day, the real focus, the best salespeople I know focus on, you know, how the other person feels and the emotions there and how best can we serve. And you can't serve people if you don't have all the information. That's where I've gotten hung up before, is knowing when to probe deeper. And for a while I thought no meant, okay, you can't ask me any questions. I said no. Did I stutter? And it's like, I mean, I can't get in people's heads. I mean, I can do the best I can and ask questions, but I can't read your mind. So, you know, if it hurts bad enough, you want to have a conversation, then let's talk a little bit more about it, because, you know, it's exciting. You know, I think a lot of people are going to kind of change a little bit about how they operate with sales when it comes to probing. Yeah.
It's already changing. You know, like, you know the old phrase, I can sell ice to an Eskimo. I hate it. Mm-hmm. It's the epitome of that 1980s aggressive sales professional.
Right.
And that's going away. Like I said, the customer has all of the information in their pocket right now. You don't need to give them the information anymore. They're going and finding that before you even have the conversation is, do you have a good set of questions to focus in on something that you can help them with?
Right.
Because like I said earlier, are they moving down your pipeline or out of it? And there's nothing wrong with getting to know, because you don't want to pester people. We're too busy. There's right. 8 billion people on this planet, Michael. You know, how many do you need to run a thriving business? And over the last 9 months, we're now all virtual. So this idea of a global economy is really, you know, coming to fruition, where most sales calls are happening through Zoom or through telecommunication. And now you don't have, if someone says no, understand why, establish clear next steps. And that next steps can be, I'm crossing you off my list. Next steps could be, well, let me put you into my LinkedIn connections. I share information. Let's be thought partners. We're not going to do business together, but we can be thought partners. Mm-hmm. So there's multiple ways of adapting a no, but more importantly, now let me go focus on my prospects.
Right.
You know, let me go focus on those who I'm trying to have conversations with, who I can get to my favorite word, which is yes.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get past those no's. And I get what your colleague was saying about having the mindset of get to a no, because if you struggle with it, make it a proactive thing and your skin will get thicker and it won't be as hurtful when someone tells you no.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to separate that personal from your professional. You
right.
know, who you are as your identity as a human is not your role as a business owner. And people have a hard time separating those things. And in order to be able to separate it, that's important, because when someone says no, they're not saying, Michael, I don't want you. It's the product or service that I'm not right. working.
It's not a personal thing. It's not. We often tie our identities to our business and it causes that very problem. Bro, I struggled with that for like 3 years, seriously. I was like, oh my goodness. If they say no to me, they're saying it to me. They're like, no, they mean the business. They don't need the service offering. And I took it so personal. And it kind of made me gun shy to ask people questions that could lead to a no. I'm like, I don't want to lose them. But now, man, I'm almost 40 and I'm like, I got to conserve energy. You know, I got to spend my energy where it matters the most, you know? So awesome. So what have been some of the biggest challenges you've overcome on the journey? Walk me through one of those. You got one in mind?
Well, I think going, getting over the no. You know, when you start a company, you have that passion and, you know, obviously it's very hard to start a market and to get into prospecting, to get those conversations. But in the beginning, just the unlimited amount of no's that keep coming. And how do you overcome that? And it's like you just said, is it me or is it the product or service?
Right.
And the key is when you're getting started is to continue to have as many conversations as you can. And as long as you have the mindset, I'm not selling that. I'm really just having a professional conversation and getting better practice and cutting your teeth on that. To me, that was one of the more challenging things in the beginning, you know, a few years back, of just being able to have those conversations and knowing that I'm not going to get business out of it is a very good possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hard. You know, every time I would get a prospect and get a meeting, it was like, this is my next big one. And then they'd let down afterwards. And that ebbs and flow of emotion was very challenging to get through. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we focused on behaviors, attitude, and then the technique. Well, I had to be a product of my own product. You know, I had to go back and do everything that I'm coaching and training everyone to do is to separate my identity from my role. Continue to do those behaviors and get more at-bats using that baseball analogy. And the more at-bats, the more swings you get, the more prospects or more conversations you have with prospects who are actually qualified. And I think once I got over that obstacle that most of my conversations were with unqualified prospects, great human beings, you know, great people, but they weren't qualified for my service. That's what made it, all right, just on to the next one. And once I got over that, and it took many months, you know, this wasn't just a, you know, a quick fix or sitting down with a coach and having a conversation with them and it was gone. It took months of constant practice, reflecting in my journal. I journal every single day, constantly reminding myself of those affirmations. And then the successes came. So that would be, I think, the biggest challenge. And anyone who's listening, they're probably like, yeah, you know, those first few months, that first year change, you don't wish it on your worst enemy. You know, it's hard. You know, starting a business is hard. You know, sustaining that business is hard, because if it was easy, everybody would do it. And, you know, so that, I think that would be the biggest obstacle that I got over the first year and several months.
Yeah. Yeah, that phrase, if it's easy, everybody would do it, has rattled around in my head for a long time. Even if it was a medium difficulty thing, I still think people would push through and do it. But it's hard. Man, this has been one of the hardest things I've ever undertaken in my life. But God help me, I can't do anything else now. I love the challenge. Man, y'all can't see this, but he's got the biggest grin on his face right now. He's like, he gets me. You really understand me.
But it's a sustained challenge. Not like it's like an argument with a friend or loved one where that goes away. It's the sustained challenge of every single day, every single week, every single month for the first few months is hard. And you wake up with that pit in your stomach and that self-doubt is, did I do the right thing? You know, do I go back to my corporate position, or do I? And that's hard. When you get into that psychological battle, you know, it's an ongoing sustained challenge. And then once you understand that you made the right decision, you did your research, you're in the seat for a reason, now it just takes hard work. And that's where the behaviors come in every single day. Do you have a plan? Because just having passion about what you do is going to get you a one-way ticket to back to where you were. You know, you're not going to have a sustained business strictly on passion.
Right. Passion does not pay the bills.
It's a great hobby. You can have a great hobby.
Yeah.
But I make the analogy is there's people with a hobby and there's people with a business. And those with business have recurring cash flow. They actually have a sustained idea. They have plans to get new prospects and fresh blood, because prospecting is the lifeblood of all businesses.
Right. Man. Well, what have you learned about yourself? You seem to be the kind of guy that's in touch with his mindset, mental toughness. Like, what have you learned about yourself in this journey? Can you share?
Oh, how much time do we have? A couple hours?
Oh, yeah. 20, we got 10 minutes. Ready, set, go.
So I think it's really the mental resilience. Is you can put yourself through a lot and you can bend, but not break. And that's the key. As long as you continue to reflect and grow and learn, is there's no definition of failure. Like, one person can say, well, Mike, you failed for weeks straight. No, I learned for weeks straight. You know, my first year in business, I learned more in that, those 365 days than I had in the last, you know, 10 years combined. And I had a couple degrees, you know, from those years. You learn so much when you try. And when you put yourself through challenging situations, when you step outside that comfort zone, you take a risk. And I think the biggest thing I learned about myself is that I have the ability to bounce back and learn. And, you know, and able to grow as a professional. You know, I completely changed careers over the last, you know, 15, 20 years and emerged into where I'm at now. Very similar, but very, very different. And that ability to bounce back and having that mental toughness, I think that's one of my biggest takeaways of, you know, it's hard when you're in the moment. It's hard to see the forest through the trees analogy. But when you look back several years ago and you see who you were as a professional, and then you think about who you are today, it's really cool and it's really awesome. And I can see your smile now because you're kind of understanding that. It's great to see who you've evolved to become. But that evolution doesn't happen if you don't take a risk. Right. You know, if you just play the status quo, you look back 5 years ago and you're in the same position. You're doing the same thing. And when you have adversity like we have these last 9 months, is you're much more susceptible two challenges to knock you off the path and then actually eliminate your position. So I think the mental toughness would be my biggest self-awareness lesson.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Sometimes you get pushed farther than you think you can handle sometimes. And like you said, I was smiling because I could remember what I was like 5 years ago. I was just a marshmallow of a man. when it comes to business, I mean, I started it off and it was really, I think it was passion based. And then I realized later on, I had some really good influence from actually a previous client that taught me all kinds of stuff about process and planning. They didn't mean to, it got drilled into me, but I'm eternally grateful for their impact on my life. But, you know, I have no idea where the business would be if I had not been influenced that way. And I can look back and say, oh my goodness, I'm so glad I met these people when I did. Because that would have been oh my goodness, it would have crashed and burned, man. No doubt.
Most businesses start with passion.
Yeah.
You know, again, that's why people get into that entrepreneurial spirit, because they love what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But most businesses crash and burn because there is no plan.
Right.
You know, you asked what my biggest lesson learned about me was about that mental toughness. I think my biggest lesson about business would be about your daily plan. You know, every single morning I wake up with bagels. It's a journaling activity, and I'll share it with your audience. It's
okay.
B stands for, what are your behaviors for the day? So what are you going to do? And behaviors aren't abstract. It's, I'm going to make 20 dials. It's, I'm going to send 15 emails. I have 3 sales calls. It's write down your intentions of what you're going to do for the day. So start with B is your behaviors. A is your attitude and affirmations. No one's going to come in and tell you how great you are. You got to remind yourself that. So don't go seeking it from your clients. They will eventually, but that's not the purpose of business. Don't get your needs met by them. Remind yourself how much impact you're having. So every morning, tell yourself your affirmations and your positive thoughts. Okay. Keep that proactivity. The G is the goal. So the goal is, what do I want to accomplish when my head hits the pillow? So if I do all my behaviors, what would be the best case scenario? Write it down every single day. That's the bit. If you don't do anything else, that's a great way to start. That's BAG. E is evaluate your previous day's performance. So what were the good, the bad, the ugly? I talked about all the lessons I learned. You know, I have so many different ideas that it's hard when you're emotional. Someone tells you, you thought you had a deal and they were like, I'm not interested. Go back and evaluate why. Learn from that. And how can you be better in your next conversation? And L is for lesson. What's one thing you're going to take forward and learn from that previous day? If you're constantly learning, it doesn't have to be something monumental or epiphany. It just has to be something small, something basic like, you know, do my calls in the morning, because if I wait until the afternoon, things can happen, right? So do it early. That's a basic idea. And if I constantly remind myself that it's a lesson learned, then I eventually do my important behaviors earlier. And then always finish with one success. You know, I like to live in the silver lining, trying to find the glass half full. What's one success from the previous day? You know, if you're someone who dials for dollars and you made, you know, 100 dials and you got hung up 100 times, your success can be you made 100 dials. You know, some people have a hard time picking up the phone and making one. You know, it could be anything, but what is the positive? Look at that glass half full. If you start every day with the bagels, you know, over the next 30 days, I promise you, you're going to be a different human being than if you weren't. So I struggle on the weekends to do them, but every single business day, that's how I set my intentions.
That is awesome. I mean, first off, it's awesome, and thank you for sharing that, but hopefully you didn't see my fingers like typing furiously on the keyboard just now. I'm like, that's huge. That's like a contentable thing that could be written about, because people just don't plan. They kind of figure, oh, we're just going to, you know, do some activities and hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to get where we want to go. But we often lose sight of the fact that you absolutely can plan and do and push toward a certain direction and get there, instead of just like moving around and hoping that you get where you're wanting to go.
Well, you run into that productive procrastination.
Yep.
You might have the cleanest office. You might have the best looking yard on the block. You mm-hmm. get into all these things where you're doing stuff, but it's not proactively towards growing your business in those first couple of years.
Right.
Even those who are, you know, 5-10 years who are listening, when's the last time you went and did a proactive activity, or you were relying on referrals? You know, we get to a place of complacency. Is where are you pushing yourself?
Yep.
And I'm not saying go back and, you know, dial for dollars, but, you know, what's a good professional organization that would make sense to partner with? Where can you be a thought leader in the industry and always push yourself to the next level? Waking up with bagels every day sets that intention where, you know, some people love going on LinkedIn, but you can be on LinkedIn for 2, 3, 5 hours and accomplish absolutely nothing but a whole lot of stalking. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to look at a lot of profiles, you're going to send out a lot of requests and messages, but there's no real action there. So limit that down to an intention. I want to connect with 5 people from this industry and send this message.
Yeah.
Then do that and be done with it and move on.
Be intentional. More notes. I'm taking more notes.
So incredible. We're not. Many people are not intentional. And all of a sudden their head hits the pillow and they're like, well, where'd today go? And what happened? And that's where, you know, when you can look back on your bagels and say, hey, my behaviors were this, my goal was this, my head hit the pillow. I didn't quite get my goals, but in my behaviors. And that's what matters. Because I can't force someone to answer a phone. I can't force someone to accept a sale. I can't force someone to do anything. I can only control one factor, and that's me. I can be the best professional when I walk in front of them, and I can do the things necessary to give myself more at-bats. So then you see the kind of the revolving wheel. If I have more at-bats, I have more confidence. Yep. And then the more confidence you have, I don't need this deal. I'm going to go in with my system and I'm going to look for that yes. I'm going to look for the no, but I'm going to hope for the yes.
Right.
And I'm not stressing. I'm not aggressive. And now I can take that used car sales professional and put that person on the shelf and never bring them out. Yep. That person comes out when you're desperate, when you need it. And you should never walk into a business professional conversation with a need like that.
Right. Man. And I got to tell you, like, I get the best sleep at night when I have hit goals and spent the day managing my time and energy well and realizing that every action I took was getting me closer toward the goal. And I don't wake up at 3 a.m. like, oh my goodness. You know, it's just, you get the best sleep. That's my main KPI, man. I just want a good night's sleep, dude. I got 4 girls and they just run me ragged. And I'm like, I just need some sleep, yo. How much time we have? Do we have like 5 more minutes? I know it's like 1:30 right now.
I've got a couple more minutes.
All right, cool. Well, how do people find you? Like if they were going to reach out and be like, I need to get with this guy and learn some more about sales, like how would they reach out to you?
I think the best way in 2021 is through LinkedIn.
All right.
You know, Michael Castiglione, it's a common name, but you can't mistake in my cheesy smile and my bald head. Out here in Los Angeles, that's the best way. I love connecting with people. I do connect with strangers. I do connect with people who I meet at networking. I do connect with my clients. You know, LinkedIn is the biggest networking group in the world, and that's how I think of it. So if someone reaches out to me, I'm simply going to say, how can we help each other? You know, even if they're a stranger, you know, Michael, thanks for reaching out. How can we help each other's networks? How can I help you? That's almost my carbon copy response every time. And then you can kind of tell who's just kind of looking to boost their numbers. Or as soon as I say it, do I get a 3-paragraph sales pitch of all the things that they can do? And then I can realize, all right, well, they're probably not interested in having a networking conversation, because that's what LinkedIn is.
Right.
So best way to reach me is on LinkedIn. If you want to connect with me, you know, just shoot me a message that you listen to this podcast, and I'd love to, you know, get to know your business and collaborate there.
Awesome. Well, yeah, a single paragraph pitch to be on a podcast works as well, because here you are. Ahaha.
There you go.
There we go. Well, it's always a pleasure talking with you, man. And this will not be, well, this is going to sound like a threat, but you won't hear the last of me. We'll be in contact, because I like you, because I think you're awesome, man. And people can learn a lot from you. But I really appreciate your time. Thank you for spending half an hour with me today, man.
Absolutely. And I'll leave this last thing for your audience is if anyone ever wants a free session, I do an open session every single month. So it's all around the psychology of how prospects think so that you can avoid that. And then it gives you some sales strategy of how to ask better questions so that you don't fall into those stalls and objections that people want to give you. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Connect with me on LinkedIn, shoot me a message, and I'll shoot you the link for the next one that's coming up.
Solid, man. Much appreciated. Well, I'll let you get back to your day so you can enjoy your lunch coming up, I guess. It's pretty soon here.
Almost there.
All right, man. Well, take care. Have a good rest of the day. All right.
Michael, great talking.
Same here. Bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.